You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine, along with co-host Pat Traina, and we are here on Thursday to preview tonight's Giants-Eagles Thursday night football game. Patty, we're going to have a late one. We're going to have a crazy one. It's Giants-Eagles. You ready for this?
I guess so, Ed.
Oh, come on, Patty. Show some excitement.
I'm not a fan of these night games, but with that said, I think, you know, we talk about this is a team Super Bowl, and, you know, this is a big, big, big game for the Giants, obviously. You know, if they lose this game, they fall to 0-2 in the division. They fall to 1-5, and their season, for all intents and purposes, is over. I mean, I just don't see how they salvage it. So it's a big one. I think it's going to be very electric in the air, a lot of electricity. And, you know, I'm curious to see how it all unfolds. I'm also curious to see if you and I can stay awake for the whole thing. Hopefully there'll be enough excitement to keep us awake.
Patty, coffee. Coffee.
I don't drink it, though.
Well, you'll have to start.
I guess I will.
You know, the only thing I will say before we get into the different segments of our show is this is absolutely a season-defining game for the Giants. This is the game that tells us whether or not, you know, any meaningful football games in terms of the standings are going to be played by the Giants the rest of the way. If they lose 1-5, you know, and they can talk about continuing to get better and continuing to build and being on the right path all they want, you know, but this will be another playoff-less season. If they win, who knows if they can make the playoffs or not, but, you know, the NFC East is, I think, the epitome of mediocrity. So if they win, you know, then things get interesting for the 2018 season.
I think in order for any of the teams in the NFC East to get into the playoffs, they're going to have to win the division. I don't think any of these teams, at least based on what we have seen right now, are going to have a good enough record to qualify for a wild card, not with some of the play in the other divisions. So it's going to be interesting.
Yes, it is, Patty. So today what we will do, what we'll do is we'll go through the way that we usually preview our, you know, these games. We'll go through offense, defense, special teams. There's plenty to talk about on all three, you know, facets for the Giants, you know, as they look toward tonight's game. Real quickly, the one thing that today's show will not be about is Lil Wayne.
Oh, I don't know, Ed. I don't want to have Lil Wayne, you know, send out another lengthy Instagram post asking why we're doing him like that, you know?
yeah. Well, okay. We've gone there. We'll just leave it at that and get on with talking about football.
Sounds good.
All right. So let's get into tonight's Giants-Eagles game, and we'll start with the Giants offense. Patty, you know, Sunday against Carolina, you know, we finally saw the Giants break the speed limit, more or less, you know, and cross the 30-point barrier. First time in 38 games, if you include the playoff game. First time since Tom Coughlin was head coach. You know, some imaginative offense, you know, with the trick play, some downfield shots, some big plays. You know, finally, you know, something on offense that looked, you know, like something that the Giants can really build on.
Yeah, it looked like what we've been promised all these, you know, all these months with Pat Shurmur coming in, you know, and credit to Shurmur, because, you know, like we saw a little too often last year, you know, the coaching staff last year stuck with things and stuck with them and refused to change anything, thinking that they were in the right. And Shurmur, to his credit, has made, you know, some subtle changes, some not so subtle changes. And The offense is starting to evolve a little bit. Now the question is, will it continue?
Obviously, Patty, and I look at it like, all right, they scored the 31 points, but there's still, you know, I guess I'll use the phrase, there's still meat on the bone there. I mean, going halfway through the fourth quarter, they had 16 points. You know, one of the things I've been charting the last couple weeks is negative plays for the Giants. They had 6 running plays that went backwards on Sunday. I think they still have, you know, 17% of their plays so far this season have gone backwards. So, you know, there's a lot of room for improvement still.
There's always going to be room for improvement, but the idea is to start to close the gap a little bit and get them closer to where they need to be. And, you know, it's always going to be a work in progress. But, you know, I think people have to remember, and I know Giant fans don't want to hear this, but this is a brand new team, you know, new coaching staff, new, you know, GM, new players, a lot of new players. And this, one of my criticisms in the preseason is that they did not have a lot of time playing together in games for whatever the reason. So now they basically make up for that when they, you know, in these first few games of the season, and hopefully, you know, now they're starting to come together. Now they're starting to, you know, understand and read the guy next to them, if you will, you know, as far as what they need to do.
Patty, let's talk a little bit, you know, specifically about tonight's matchup with the Eagles. And when it comes to the Giants, it always, on offense, it always comes back to the offensive line. And when it comes to Giants versus Eagles, you know, in recent years, it always seems to come back to, you know, can the Giants find a way to handle, you know, Fletcher Cox and that Eagles, you know, defensive front that can be so dominant, you know, when it gets going, you know, and that for me, you know, that's the key offensive matchup, you know, is can the offensive line, you know, hold the Eagles at bay, you know, enough for Eli and Saquon and Odell and company to make some plays.
Oh, no question. I think Fletcher Cox, if I'm not mistaken, is the Eagles' leading tackler and the leader in sacks. So he's definitely a load to handle. And he's the guy that the Eagles move around. You know, sometimes he'll line up inside. Sometimes he'll line up outside. You know, the Giants' interior offensive line has been okay. They've had some breakdowns here and there. So they have to really make sure that they have – that, A, they know where Fletcher Cox is lining up on every play, and B, and most importantly, make sure that that guy does not get a sniff of the backfield.
Oh, obviously, Patty. And, you know, I mentioned negative plays earlier, and if I'm not mistaken, you know, you did some film study this week for The Athletic, and I've been looking at the negative plays, you know, and it's funny because at the beginning of the season, when it came to the offensive line, we were worried about the pass protection. The pass protection, I think Eli's been sacked 16 times, but the pass protection has steadily seemed to have gotten better. The difficulty that the Giants have on the offensive line now seems to be, you know, breakdowns in run blocking. They lead the league in run plays that have lost yardage, and that's... You know, Saquon Barkley in the run game is basically doing everything on his own. And really, to take another step, they have to give him a chance.
Yeah, that goes back to what I was saying about the interior of the Giants offensive line, which is where, you know, to my, you know, my perspective, that's where I'm seeing the problems. You know, whether it's a missed block or a guy not getting off a double team to, you know, to bounce off and pick up another guy, there's just, or not getting a push. I just, you know, I think most of the problems, at least based on what I have seen, again, are coming from that interior. And, you know, it just could be a matter of them working together better, because remember, they do have a new center in there, John Greco, Will Hernandez is a rookie, but he's getting better every week. And then Patrick Omame, you know, not only has he had to learn how to work next to Greco, a new center, but also Chad Wheeler, the new right tackle. So I wonder how much that has affected him.
A work in progress, obviously, Patty. Patty, before we take our first break and before we spin, you know, toward talking about the Giants' defense, is there anything else about the offensive matchup tonight that you really want to get into?
Not really. I mean, I'm just curious to see, obviously, Odell, you know, is Odell going to get the ball as much as, you know, he did last week? You know, I know he keeps calling for it, and last week they accommodated him. So I'm just curious to see also if they have more of a balance between the offense, between the passing game and the running game. You know, last week they didn't have it, but it didn't seem to hurt them that much given how close the score was. So we'll just see.
I guess the only other thing I might mention is the possibility that Evan Engram might play tonight. And, you know, the way I look at that is I will believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think, you know, he's been out, what, 2 weeks now?
Right.
I think, you know, even though there's optimism, I would be very surprised if he gets in there. I think next week is a more realistic time frame for him, you know, especially considering that, you know, there were reports of him being spotted with a heavy brace on his leg. Okay, if you're wearing a heavy brace on your leg, chances are you're not 100% right. And even Engram said, you know, on Tuesday that, you know, he needs to see how he feels, you know, that he's optimistic, he's making progress. Well, of course you're going to make progress. The further out you are from the injury itself, the more progress you're making. I mean, that's a given. But is it enough to get him out there? That's the million-dollar question.
We'll find out, Patty. But as I said, I would be surprised. Let's take our first break, you know, for a word from our sponsors. Then we will come back and we will spin to the matchup between the Giants defense and the Eagles offense. Okay, Giants fans, Ed Valentine and Patricia Traina here on Locked On Giants, previewing tonight's critical NFC East matchup. As both teams try to find their way past, you know, slow starts this season, you know, and try to get themselves going, you know, in an NFC East that I guess can be described as mediocre at best.
Yeah, I mean, it's the division wide open for the taking right now. Nobody has pulled away. And, you know, somebody's going to have to make some headway starting this week. And the Giants can pull it out. They can actually, I believe, rise out of the cellar for the first time since 2016, because they will be technically, even though they'll have the same record as the Eagles, with a win, they would technically be a half game ahead of the Eagles in the standings, because, as you know, the first tiebreaker is head-to-head.
All right, Patty, let's talk a little bit about the Giants' defense, you know, versus the Eagles' offense. And, you know, before we talk about the Giants' defense specifically, I'm thinking about the fact that when you look at the statistics, the pure points per game statistics, as much as the Giants have struggled and they got the 31-point game, the Giants are actually averaging slightly more in terms of points per game than the Eagles are. And I find that kind of stunning. And I'm just thinking about Damon Harrison in the locker room the other day saying that the Eagles just haven't looked the same so far this year. And, you know, from the Giants' perspective, you cross your fingers and you hope they don't find that magic formula that they had last year on Thursday night.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think I was the one who actually asked that question. And I not only asked it of Damon Harrison, I asked it of a few guys, you know, what has been different with the Eagles this year? You know, they just, you know, they've had some injuries for sure, but they just haven't looked like, you know, the juggernaut that they were last year. And I wonder if perhaps, you know, when you are the defending Super Bowl champion, you obviously have a target on your back and everybody comes from you. And so I think that just amps up the amount of pressure, whether it's real or imagined, that you end up putting on yourself to make sure that you defend that title. And it just doesn't seem to me, and granted, I haven't watched all the Eagle games. I've watched, you know, some of them, but it just seems to me that they're not as loose and what's the word I want? Just they're too tight playing out there. So, you know, we'll see if that changes or if that's just, you know, my take, and we'll see just how competitive they really are.
Patty, I also wonder, you know, when you win a championship, when you're a really good team, your coaching staff gets rated as well. And I also wonder, you know, Frank Reich, who was the offensive coordinator, is now the head coach in Indianapolis. John DeFilippo, who was a highly regarded quarterbacks coach, is now the offensive coordinator in Minnesota. And you also wonder, you know, we talk about the Giants and work in progress and all of that. You also wonder how much of an adjustment there is, you know, without two of the critical members of that offensive coaching staff in Philadelphia.
That's a valid point. Absolutely. I mean, even though, you know, I believe offensively Doug Peterson is, I guess, the primary architect of that system, you know, now you have different voices in key roles, and with different voices come different opinions, whether they're subtle or they're major. So that's certainly a valid point, Ed.
Patty, let's talk about the Giants defense, you know, specifically here a little bit. You know, it's been very, very surprising to me to watch this defense. I think we knew that there would be some issues on defense, you know, when it came to the pass rush, especially without Olivier Vernon. I think we knew, you know, that free safety, you know, might be a question mark. The one thing that I think the Giants really sort of tried to hang their hat on, tried to build on, they talked in the preseason about building a wall against the run. And to this point, when you look at it, you know, I don't have the statistics in front of me about their run defense, but I know, you know, that to this point, the run defense just hasn't been good enough.
Yeah, and I'm not really sure why. I mean, I think you can point to the missed tackles. They've had, you know, quite a few missed tackles. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but, you know, there's been, you know, the tackling last week was just flat out sloppy. I mean, let's call it what it was. So I think that's part of the problem. And then I think another part of the problem has been, you know, them being exposed on the edges. I mean, they really miss Olivier Vernon because, you know, he was one of the guys that I think could really shut down that run if it came to his side of the field. And I just don't know that, you know, they have the same firepower. This despite the fact that they have one of the best interior run-stopping players in the NFL in Damon Harrison. I mean, you try and run against Damon Harrison up the middle, good luck to you because it just ain't happening. And, you know, we've seen B.J. Hill and Dalvin Tomlinson also, you know, feed off of Damon Harrison. So they've been stout up the middle. It's just on the edges, like I said, and also the tackling, I think, has contributed to the problem because, you know, you look at who's leading the team in tackles every week. And when you see a guy, you know, the corners or even the safeties leading the team in tackles, that means far too many plays are getting to that second level. And that's not a good sign.
You know, Patty, it's an interesting point that you make about tackles because people tend to look at the tackle statistic and say, oh, he's making a ton of tackles. He's a really good player. And that's not always the case. You know, certain guys making a ton of tackles is not always a good thing. But, you know, you're absolutely right about the other thing, too, is the tackling, I think, especially Sunday in the first two drives, was very shoddy. I think it got better throughout the game. You know, but you just can't give up extra yards by missing tackles, by taking bad angles to the football. as a defense, the Giants have to find something to hang their hats on. And for me, sooner or later, it's going to have to be that run defense. The other point that you made about Olivier Vernon, I need to say this about Olivier Vernon. There are too many Giants fans who simply don't understand how good of a football player Olivier Vernon is. I don't care about, oh, he doesn't get enough sacks. The fact of the matter is, in the pass rush, the man is disruptive. He's in the backfield quite a bit, impacting the quarterback. Whether he's always among the leaders in the pass rush, in the pressure percentages, in how often he impacts the quarterback. He is a tremendous run defender, as you said, in holding that edge. And that's undervalued and underrated. And I'm a little bit, I understand people's frustration with Vernon not having played so far this year and having missed some games last year. But this guy is a terrific football player, and I think that people need to understand that and look beyond just the number of sacks that he gets.
Well, I agree, Ed, but, we always say the best ability is availability. And, the fact is that people are frustrated that, and I find this kind of funny because you would swear that the money was coming out of these people's pockets, but, they're frustrated that, Vernon is taking up this much cap space and he's not doing anything, except sitting on the sideline. Now, with that said, one of my defenses of him has always been that since he's come here to the Giants, they have overplayed him. I mean, I think one year he played over 90% of the snaps. And then last year, even though he missed four games with a high ankle sprain, those snaps for which he was active for, I think he logged close to 90% there. And that was an indictment of the fact that they did not have depth that could go in there and give him, and at the time, Jason Pierre-Paul, a break. So this year, Dave Gettleman made an effort to get guys in there to so that he had a rotation, both at linebacker, both at defensive end and defensive line. But, I just wonder because, it's the same ankle injury that I believe he had last year. And I just wonder if the first ankle injury just didn't heal properly to where now, he had it worse again, a worse injury, I should say. It's really a shame because, people say, he's a bum, Look, I've sat with him several times. I know you've spoken with him too. The guy, it's killing Olivier Vernon not to be out there. He wants to be out there badly. All right. He's not, he doesn't strike me as a lazy type who is just going to sit back, collect the money and laugh all the way to the bank. That's not who this guy is. And you're right. People focus too much on the sacks. And James Betcher, I think, was asked about that a couple weeks ago. And he said, look, sacks are great, but if we're getting in the backfield and we're forcing early throws, if we're disrupting the quarterback, if we're dropping the running backs for a loss, that's what we want. And that's got to be taken into consideration. And you're right, Ed. Olivier Vernon has done all that over the course of his career. And it's just unfortunate that, he had to suffer this ankle sprain again in a practice, no less. And, let's just hope that, when he does get out there, he's 100%, because that's the type of injury that if you rush back from too soon, and I have to laugh because there's a lot of quote unquote Twitter doctors on my timeline who are telling me, oh, this shouldn't take this long. It's a high ankle sprain, folks. Those can take up to months to properly heal, depending on the severity. And I would just refrain from saying, now he's milking it, or he's not ready to go, or, oh, he's a wuss, or he's soft, because you don't know what degree sprain he has. You don't know, what his MRIs have shown or his X-rays have shown. I mean, there's been sketchy reports out there. So I would just, be a little bit You know, I get the frustration, but I would be a little bit more understanding because those high ankle sprains are a real pain in the butt to come back from.
Patty, you mean there are people on Twitter who think that they're experts when they don't have any of the actual information in front of them? I really didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you learn something new every day. And
wow.
You know, I had one guy yesterday quoting a doctor who I would be willing to bet hasn't even looked at any diagnostics from Vernon, you know, saying that a high ankle sprain, you know, shouldn't take more than 6 weeks. I mean, I would question, you know, no offense, but I would question that doctor's credentials because, you know, I'm not a doctor either, okay? But I've had my share of injuries, and I've asked a lot of questions of doctors over the year, and they all tell me the same thing. Every injury is different. There is no one set, you know, course of action or time frame that you can honestly say, oh, this injury will be healed in 2 weeks or a day or whatever. Everybody is different. Every injury is different. That's what makes medicine so tricky to really pin down.
Patty, let's talk quickly about the Eagles offense. And obviously they have Carson Wentz back at quarterback after his knee injury last year. You know, they're going to be missing Jay Ajayi, you know, who's going to be out for the season now with I believe a torn ACL. But when you look at this Eagles offense, I mean, it, you know, to me, this is a team that should be scoring more than 20 and a half points a game. Is there anything about this Eagles offense that really concerns you, you know, looking forward to tonight's matchup?
Concerns me? I would say Zach Ertz, the tight end. I mean, we know the Giants' history with tight ends, and Zach Ertz is coming off of two games in which I believe he had over 100 receiving yards in each game. So I would guess that he's going to be a focal point, especially given how the Giants historically have struggled to cover tight ends. But the other thing you got to keep an eye on is Carson Wentz, because even though he is, you know, he's back from his injuries. And by the way, speaking of miraculous recoveries, I mean, the guy had an ACL and an LCL, and that he came back this quickly. I mean, I know for a fact because, you know, I had a doctor tell me with an LCL that those can take a long time. And then you pair it with an ACL, that can take even longer. But again, it goes back to what I said about everybody being different and every injury being different. But the point I was trying to make is that Wentz is, you know, he's playing like nothing really ever happened to him. You know, he's still extending plays with his legs. You know, he's still making the throws. I think he's had a little bit of a problem with his protection. If I'm not mistaken, I believe the Eagles have given up, I want to say, one more sack than the Giants offensive line has. I think it's 15-14, if I'm not mistaken. So it's just going to be, you know, I look for Zach Ertz to really be, you know, the guy that's going to, you know, try to inflict damage on that Giant defense, especially given the problems they had last week with tackling. And like I said, the historical issues with covering tight ends.
I was going to say, Patty, the Giants and tight ends, you know, the long running, how do we actually cover the tight end soap opera? You know, different coaches, different staffs, different schemes, different players, same problem. and you know, hopefully it doesn't rear its ugly head again tonight.
Yeah, I mean, if it does, it's going to be a long, long evening for the Giants' defense. They have got to make sure that Ertz does not hurt them. I think they can, you know, I think the Giants' defense can handle the Eagle receivers. And, you know, we have to mention that they just lost their running back. Oh, gosh, his name escapes me. Jay Ajayi, yep. So they just lost him. But Ertz is the guy, you know, if I'm the Eagles, that's the guy I'm going to try and get involved in as much as possible. Matter of fact, if I could, I'd grab him for my fantasy team this week.
Oh, Patty. Fantasy.
Hey,
football.
I play to win, baby.
Ah, There you go. Patty, let's take our second break, you know, for another word from our sponsors. Then we'll come back. We'll talk about special teams. We'll wrap up with some final thoughts.
Locked On NFL is becoming everyone's favorite daily national NFL podcast. Mondays, it's the local experts on the biggest stories of the week. Tuesdays, former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels joins Matt Williamson. On Wednesday, it is Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus. Thursdays, the great Mike Sando of ESPN joins the show. And on Fridays, get Matt's picks for the weekend games.
Giants fans, I probably don't need to tell you that it's crazy how much it costs for you to purchase new, brand-name clothing. Swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store, can help you. Swap is a great place to discover incredible discounts on gently worn clothing. With Swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail price on brands like Lululemon, Carter's, J. Crew, Nike, and Gap. Quality hand-inspected items are added daily, and if something you order doesn't fit, you can simply return it with no hassle within 30 days. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to try Swap today and get 30% off your first order. Okay, Giants fans, Ed Valentine and Patricia Traina back here on Locked On Giants, and we're wrapping up our Thursday show as we preview the Giants versus the Eagles game tonight at MetLife Stadium. And in our third segment here, we're going to talk about special teams. And Patty, there's a couple things to talk about, you know, when it comes to special teams. And I think we'll start I kind of want to start with Odell Beckham and punt returns, because I suspect that we may not see Odell on punt returns tonight.
I don't know. That's a very good question. I don't know. You know, I think they're going to maybe pick and choose what they do with him. You know, eventually I think they're going to bring up Henderson. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think they're going to bring him up at some point. I just think they need a roster spot to do that. But the other thing we have to kind of look at, I think, is what's going to happen at kicker. Now, Aldrick Rosas has not practiced all week. They did add Marshall Cone to the practice squad as an emergency, and I wonder if Rosas is going to be a game time decision there.
I think that's pretty much what Pat Shurmur indicated, you know, when we were able to speak to him on Tuesday. I don't know on a Thursday game, and Shurmur didn't really give, you know, a clear answer on this. On a Sunday game, teams have to make their roster moves if they're going to add a player from the practice squad, or if they're going to add a player, you know, who's a street free agent. They have to make those roster moves on Saturday afternoon. You can't make them on game day. On a Thursday night game, I'm not sure what the rule is there, Patty. But, you know, Shurmur indicated that they're going to wait until the last possible minute before they make that decision.
I think the rule, and I'd have to check it, but I'm almost positive the rule is 24 hours before, or at the close of business the day before the game. So I would think it would be it would have had to have been Wednesday at 4 o'clock, but I'm not sure on that. I'd have to check and see if there's an exemption for Thursday. I'm just kind of going off of, you know, how it works for Mondays and obviously Sundays. So you caught me on that one, Ed. I'm not prepared to answer that one because I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting one. I just know that, Marshall Cone was probably the obvious move, you know, for the Giants to bring in, you know, as an emergency or an insurance policy. But if Cone happens to be the kicker tonight, you know, based on what we saw from him in the preseason, he was with the Giants. He was technically in competition with Aldrick Rosas for the kicking job. Based on what we saw, I can't be really confident that he can make big kicks tonight?
Yeah, I can't either. I mean, let's hope that, you know, that whatever they decide to do, that it's the right decision. I mean, special teams is just so, so tricky sometimes, because it's the one decision that you don't make that you end up regretting. And they really need to make sure that they do right here. Don't overreact. But at the same time, you don't want to risk making an injury worse. So we'll see how it plays out.
And Rosas, I'll just say this, you know, coming off of a difficult rookie year, you know, I remember way back in the spring asking special teams coordinator, you know, Thomas McGahee, what the Giants saw in Rosas and why it seemed like they were willing to give him another chance. And he said that what they saw was tremendous leg talent, you know, and that, to use a Dave Gettleman phrase, that they didn't want to give up on talent. And he is rewarding to this point. He's rewarding their faith. He's been 11 for 11. He's made every extra point. He's kicked very, very well. And it's really unfortunate to see him suffer an injury at this point.
It really is. It's a weird situation. I'm not even sure when that injury took place, to be honest with you. But, you know, unfortunately, this does happen. Kickers are prone to injuries as well.
Patty, let's wrap up here with some final thoughts about tonight, and I'm going to give you the floor first, just for some final thoughts on, you know, on the importance of tonight's game, how you think it might unfold.
Oh, well, let's see. Depending on when this podcast actually airs, I don't know if it's going to coincide with when the Big Blue View staff picks were announced, but I actually picked the Giants to win this one.
Oh boy. I haven't, yeah. You know, as we tape this, it's, you know, it's, we'll let folks know as we tape this, it's actually, you know, Wednesday. So, you know, I haven't actually made my pick yet, Patty. I keep going back and forth, but I'll let you give your reasoning here.
Yeah. I picked the Giants to win this game, and the reason why I picked them, and in case anybody's wondering, no, I wasn't drunk when I made the pick. I wasn't on any drugs when I made the pick. It has nothing to do with what Ed picked, because, you know, my motto all year has been, whoever Ed picks, I go the opposite direction.
That's a good idea.
Which is actually going to be the case, I think, this particular week. The reason why I picked the Giants is, you know, we were in the locker room this week, and with all things considered, there's an eerie type of calm with this team. And I mentioned in my staff pick the 2007 team. And I'm in no way comparing the 2018 team to the 2017 team. I'm sorry, 2017. But what I do sense is, and I remember this very vividly, when the 2017 was down 0-2 and just absolutely looking like a mess, they had that same sense of calm where, you know, they went into week 3, a game against Washington, as I recall, and they were calm. It wasn't, you know, there was a sense of urgency. There was a focus like I had never seen. And they went in and, you know, the first half, if I remember correctly, the first half of that game didn't really go the way they wanted to. But then suddenly something clicked and they just, you know, came together, and the rest was history, as they say. Now, I think, you know, I kind of get that sense of calm and determination from this year's team. With that said, I also know that this year's team and teams of recent years, Giant teams of recent years, have not done well in prime time. That was the only thing I was kind of hedging on. But I just think that, you know, the expectations are a little higher for the Eagles than they are for the Giants. And I think there's going to be more pressure on the Eagles to pull this one out. And I think the Giants can come up and sneak up and overtake them.
Patty, it's interesting because I was also, as you know, I was also in the locker room on Tuesday. And, you know, over the years, you know, as you deal with struggling teams, you hear guys talk about, you know, they put up a brave front, basically, you know, as to, you know, what they believe their situation is and what they have to do, you know, moving forward and all of that. And I was very interested on Tuesday in sort of taking the temperature of the room and sort of, you know, do I believe, because you know these guys are going to give you the positive spin, you know, for the most part. And you're just kind of interested in, do you buy the way that they're saying it? And what I do believe about this team is, you know, Pat Shurmur has said, you know, going way back to the spring and the summer, he's talked about being on the right path, being on a good path, continuing to get better. And I do believe that we've seen signs, you know, as the season has unfolded, we've seen some signs, you know, incremental that they might be here and there along the way, that this team is getting better, that they're getting Pat Shurmur's program, you know, that things are, you know, maybe slowly, you know, coming together. And you do get the feeling that this team believes that it is getting better and that it can, you know, still, you know, whether you can climb out of a 1-4 hole and make a playoff run or not, I don't know. We'll see. But what I do believe is that this team hasn't given up, that it really does believe that it can play better football this year, you know, and that they feel like they are on the right path. So to be honest, as I sit here, I still haven't convinced myself, you know, which, you know, that I can actually pick the Giants to win this game, because there's part of me that says, you know, I thought they might beat Jacksonville, and you just look at it at some point and say, before you pick them to win a game against a really good football team, and make no mistake, the Eagles are the defending Super Bowl champs and a really good football team. You know, there's part of me that says you have to see it to believe it.
Yeah, I get it, Ed. And by the way, please tell me you're not picking them, because I may have to change my pick.
you want me to give it away now, Patty? You want me to give it away?
I'll wait. Right, I'll wait. Right. I get your point. I really do. But, you know, I think there's been some progress made, and there was a point in time, you know, when I was making my picks for Big Blue View, that I said, I'm not picking this team anymore until I start to see them moving forward. And I think they took a big step forward. And now I do know, I've also said this, that, you know, it's with them, it's been one step forward, two steps back, and it's been frustrating. But I just get the feeling that this time it's going to be different. I hope I'm right, because if I'm not, I don't want to see my Twitter feed after the game. I don't want to see the Twitter Tuesday questions, because I think they're going to be, you know, brutal and despondent by, you know, by fans. Now, seriously, I'll answer your Twitter questions and all that stuff. But I just think it's time that they cook or get out of the kitchen. And if they fall on their faces, then that's it. You know, that's game over, finito.
Oh boy, finito, done. There you go. Anyway, Patty, I actually think that we are actually finito, done for today's show. You know, maybe that's going to become our signature, you know, end of show call.
We sure need it, right?
Hey, what can I tell you?
Anyway, like it, though.
There you go. All right, Giants fans, we will call it a show for today, since we are finito, done for this Thursday edition. And we will talk to you again on Friday after we know, you know, how the game turned out. We'll review what we saw, and we look forward to talking to you then. So bye-bye, and we'll talk to you soon.